I'm Brian McCreath at Symphony Hall with Tony Fogg, the director of Tanglewood, also happens to be artistic administrator of the BSO. But more to the point, that first title, Director of Tanglewood, is what we're talking about today, the 2019 season just released. And Tony, thanks so much for some time today. I have to say that by the look of the schedule, you are absolutely getting your money's worth from Andras Nelson's in July.
He's going to be one very busy guy.
Completely.
He's conducting all three, with the exception of the opening weekend, where he's not conducting the Boston Pops on their Sunday concert, but he's conducting every other program on those four weekends, as well as some work earlier in the week with the Tanglewood Music Center Orchestra and, of course, Tanglewood on Parade. So,
I mean, really, that's a lot. That's more than almost I can think of almost any other conductor doing.
It's superhuman, and I've got to say, organizing the schedule for his rehearsals is still a work in progress and a challenging one at that.
Well, let's come back to kind of getting into digging out a lot of those programs in specifics. But first, the other major thing that I notice as I first look at your schedule is really paying tribute to John Williams in three separate concerts. Tell me about why you decided to have John Williams concert of his music, and then also there's Star Wars, the live accompaniment to the film, and then, as ever, the film night program.
John is such a beloved figure at Tanglewood, and while he's still active in all of these many different areas of work, we just want to take every opportunity we can to celebrate his art and his work. And I'm thrilled that we've got three quite distinct programs in which we'll be hearing some of John's music. The first is on the opening weekend, which is a Pops concert conducted by David Newman with the great Anna-Sophie Mutter, the violinist, who has become a champion of John's music, someone that John greatly admires.
I remember talking to her when she was here at the hall. When was it? The season before last or something. And the look on her face when we started talking about the piece John had written for her, she was just elated that John wrote something for her.
I think John's music is a fairly recent discovery for her. And she's, of course, one of the supreme violinists of our time. And I think she recognized that John has always written marvelously for the violin. When you think of not only his violin concerto and Tree Song, which he wrote for Gil Shaham, but the beautiful score for Schindler's List, which was recorded with the BSO. In all those cases, the violin writing is just absolutely so idiomatic and so really touching of the particular mood that John is trying to evoke, that I think she realizes that he was a great writer for her instrument. So she persuaded John to have some arrangements made of some of the most iconic scores from his various films, as well as playing some of the pieces that he wrote, especially for her, concert pieces. And they've come together in an album, which is to be released soon, I believe, called Across the Stars. So we'll be hearing some excerpts from that.
And the other two John Williams programs, to finish those thoughts, are the Star Wars showing, the original Star Wars film with live accompaniment.
That's right. And this is a genre which has, you know, really taken off in the last few years. And we haven't done any of the Star Wars films complete. I believe we've done various extended suites and excerpts and so on. But it'll be great to have the original movie in full. And then, of course, Film Night itself, which is on the final weekend, which John will be introducing and presiding over the programming of. He may be conducting some parts of it. We're not quite sure yet, but the main conducting responsibilities will again fall to his great colleague, David Newman, who's vastly experienced in the genre and has become a favorite with the Boston Pops.
Well, and David is just this is his world. This is his family, his legacy.
He's walking history. Yeah. And, if you ask John remembers him as a toddler.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true too.
So, this is someone for whom the world of Hollywood and its great musical legacy is absolutely second nature. And to hear David talk about that repertoire with the tremendous authority that he has is really a revelation. So
yeah,
we're glad to have him for these two programs this summer. And, of course, Keith conducting the pops for the Star Wars movie with a live score.
Absolutely, yeah. And so back to these first weeks with Andres, opening with Mahler 5, not to mention Emmanuel Axe also playing a Mozart concerto on that program. I mean, the repertoire that you've built into the BSO programs with Andres is just kind of what excites me is that it's so much of the stuff that I just personally love orchestras doing, really kind of big stuff that it takes a major orchestra to pull off, like Mahler 5, like Copland 3, or like Daphnis and Chloe, these fantastic large-scale works that when you hear a major orchestra do them, it's like a revelation.
It is, Brian. And, you know, these are pieces that are, you know, Andres and the orchestra have now built up their way with these works. You know, Mahler 5 is being performed this current subscription week.
Yeah.
It's the first time Andres and the orchestra have done Mahler 5, but of course they've done Mahler 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 9.
Yeah.
So the way with these pieces is something now that is becoming quite familiar to everyone. Likewise, Copland 3, which will be a new work for Andres this later in the subscription season. But these are great big pieces that are always sound so fantastic in the shed at Tanglewood, as well as you know, we mentioned, should mention Petrushka and La Mer and the Dance of the Seven Veils from Salome of Strauss, pieces that work so well in the open atmosphere and the broad acoustic of the Koussevitzky Music Shed.
Well, and, you know, you talk about this being the first time that Andres will do Copland 3, but that's kind of what's exciting about it, right? That this isn't music that was sort of hammered into his head when he was a young kid. This is a fresh look at Copland 3. And what better place, well, certainly here in the subscription season, but to hear Copland 3 at Tanglewood, as you say, in the broad expanse there.
I think it's always fascinating when Andres comes to some of these pieces that we know so well from our years of upbringing as listeners. It was really the case a few years ago at one of Tanglewood on Parade, when it was the summer that John had a bad back and couldn't come.
Yes.
And Andres took over John's conducting assignment, which was to be, I think, the throne room and finale from Star Wars. And it was like a piece that you'd never heard before. It's very interesting when someone comes from a different perspective and they see things in something that's very familiar to us and reveals new qualities. That's what great music is about.
Well, and so we have skirted around so far, but now I'll bring it up directly. A real huge highlight of that first month with Andres is the complete Die Walküre in three separate performances with the TMC Orchestra. And so we are now on our way to the second part of Andres's Ring at Tanglewood. Began with Das Rheingold a summer before last, and now we're going on to the next one.
Well, Brian, I should say that there's not a plan to do the complete ring cycle.
I wouldn't put those words in your mouth to any person. but I'm just saying there's a pattern that developed.
But, you know, Andres is a great Wagner conductor.
Yeah.
It was music that made him decide, the music of Wagner made him decide he wanted to become a conductor as a very young boy.
Yeah.
So he's lived with that repertoire for his entire musical life. And you referenced the performance of Das Rheingold, which was with the BSO two summers ago, which was really one of the great evenings at the festival. And Andres wanted to have a chance to do something on a grand scale with the TMC. And we thought, well, why not do Die Walküre, which needs a sort of rehearsal period, which, quite honestly, we could never find with the BSO. Mm. But also, we wanted to give our young musicians this fantastic educational opportunity. We were mindful of the stamina for both the players themselves and the audience. So we made the decision to spread it over 2 days. So on Saturday the 27th, of July, we'll have Act One of Die Walküre, which is often done in any case as a standalone concert.
Yeah,
one sees it in programs. It was done by, amongst others, by Munch at Tanglewood many years ago.
Wow!
And then on Sunday afternoon at 2:30, and then Sunday early evening at 6:30, we'll hear Acts Two and Three. So the story will unfold over 2 days. And the Walküre is one of the greatest stories in opera. It's about loss, about familial love, about finding one's way in the world, sharing of intimacies. It's got all of the great matters of the human state, which make up great operas. And
but it's told in that otherworldly way of Wagner that is not.
Well, yes, and it's a world which nowadays, with you know, our fascination with mythology and the gods and so on, will seem even more relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it'll be a great 2 days, and we're going to fill it with some fun events in between. And we have a marvelous cast headed by Christine Gerke as Brunhilde, Simon O'Neill as Siegfried, Amber Wagner as Sieglinde, and the cast goes on. And of course, all of those Valkyries who make a unbelievable appearance at the beginning of Act Three.
Yeah.
So you'll have to wait till Sunday night to hear them all at in full throttle.
Well, and it is the kind of thing that is bound to bring people of a certain kind to Tanglewood, because there are people who follow Ring performances and will go wherever they happen.
Absolutely, yeah. And look, this is will be a singular event in Tanglewood's history for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Every year there's a Koussevitzky artist. I'm always, now that you've been doing this for a few years, I'm always highly interested in who that's going to be. And so it's Renee Fleming for this summer. Tell me about choosing Renee as the Koussevitzky artist and what that means for what she'll be doing at Tanglewood.
Well, when thinking about who might be named the Koussevitzky artist, we think of artists who have a long association with the festival.
Yeah.
Who also might bring something of which Koussevitzky himself would have been proud, would have supported. Last year's Koussevitzky artist was Kirill Gerstein, whose association with the festival is relatively recent, but whose breadth of interests embrace everything from, you know, the high romantic repertoire through to the brand newest, most thorny, difficult to. He's a teacher. He's a polymath in the broader sense. So,
yeah.
What a great adventure we had with Kirill last year. Renee has been part of Tanglewood on a fairly regular basis since, I believe, 1991, when she first appeared in the cast of Idomeneo.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But has been a regular at the festival.
Yeah.
And she's appeared both with the orchestra in recitals, with the Emerson Quartet. So we thought she was the ideal candidate for this honor next summer.
Yeah.
And she's, of course, a great teacher, a master class giver, and she's someone who's become a great spokesman about our art. So we thought, ideal person. Renee has brought to us two extremely interesting projects. The first, which is on the 20th of July, will be the world premiere of a new work by Kevin Putz. It's called Brightness of Light, and it's a fascinating work, in prospect at least, which will be something of a operatic in nature. It's a setting of the correspondence between the great artist Georgia O'Keeffe and her husband Alfred Stieglitz, who was an art curator and photographer. And this is their letters, which they exchanged over a 20-plus year period, which has been fashioned into a dramatic work for soprano Renee Fleming in this case and baritone Rod Guilfrey, involving imagery from George O'Keeffe's output itself and large orchestra. So it's a half-evening program with these many dimensions of literary, visual references. Of course, it will make us think about George O'Keeffe's relationship to landscape and the place of landscape in the work of a creative artist. So it's a work of many dimensions, which I think will be fascinating for our audiences.
And it strikes me as the kind of thing, knowing only the description that I have right now in your press materials, but it strikes me as the kind of thing it could and maybe will at some point, depending on how you want to do it, could work really just beautifully in Symphony Hall. But to have that at Tanglewood strikes me as what you said about the landscape is really important. The landscape of Georgia O'Keeffe that we associate is very different from the Berkshires, but nevertheless, to be thinking and to have landscape as part of what the conception of artistic life, you know, is so so ingrained in what Tanglewood is all about.
That's exactly right, and we hope we'll have a chance to talk about those sort of subjects and issues in the course of the weekend. But there's something special. The listening environment of Tanglewood is a unique one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is this combination of unbelievable physical beauty and great performances, which just makes it like no other place.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing that Renee is doing is a concert with Emerson. You mentioned before that she's done the kind of things
That's
with
right.
them before.
And this was an great idea that she had. We've had a long association also with André Previn.
Yes.
Both as a composer and conductor. He's been really part of our family. André celebrates his 90th birthday next year, and so we wanted to take an opportunity to celebrate at Tanglewood. We love our birthday celebrations. So on the opening weekend, Anna Sophie Mutter will be playing André's violin concerto, which was written for her and premiered by the BSO.
Right, right.
And then we've commissioned André to write a new work. We're not quite sure what we're calling it, maybe a monodrama or maybe a cantata for soprano, string quartet, and piano, which is a retelling of the Penelope story of Penelope from the Odyssey of Homer. And this is to a new text written by Tom Stoppard, who is a long collaborator of André's. They've done several works together. Most importantly, the theater piece that was created back in the late 70s, early 80s, called Every Good Boy Deserves Favor. And so Tom has written a beautiful, absolutely beautiful poetic text that André is setting for Renee and the forces of the Emersons plus a pianist.
Yeah, yeah. So getting into August, I do notice that there is this one stretch of time when there's chamber music and orchestra music that is, you have a lot of Beethoven going on. And I wondered how intentional that was, or if this was sort of just an organic development of what different artists wanted to do. You have Kavakos, Yo-Yo Ma, and Emmanuel Ax doing a piano trio program, and then Leonidas Kavakos and Emmanuel Ax doing a sonata program. There's symphonies. Leonidas is playing the Beethoven violin concerto. Did all this just sort of happen, or did
yes,
you?
Yes, and Fima Brofman doing
a Beethoven. That's right, Fima, of course, yes.
Yeah, it was something of an organic process. You know, Beethoven is always one of the cores of our programming for many reasons, principally because it's among the greatest music written.
Right.
Just by coincidence, a lot of these great artists with whom we have ongoing relationships are focusing on Beethoven. There is a big Beethoven anniversary, of course, in 2020, and so everyone's preparing for that. But
yeah.
we just, as it worked out, these all came together in the one period. And I think that's that will be something that will be of great appeal to our audiences. And we hope we'll see lots of folk at those attendance. Certainly
yeah.
the Ozawa Hall programs with Manny and Leonidas and Yo-Yo, of course, will be, we're sure, overflowing. So
no doubt. And I guess that's what really struck me, is not just that this name Beethoven pops up on the schedule in a very concentrated way, but as an experience, that's what a festival is meant to do, to give you something that it's not very often that would happen in the course of a subscription season, that these things would be so placed in such proximity to each other, the symphonies and the chamber works.
No, you can have a sort of deep dive into Beethoven through the various genres and performing forces. So I also should mention that those recitals will be among the headlines of the 25th anniversary season of Ozawa Hall. And we purposely planned some, I think, exceptional and singular events for the Ozawa Hall series to mark that anniversary. So we've already mentioned the Fleming recital. But we have, in fact, three different orchestras appearing in Ozawa Hall next summer. The Venice Baroque Orchestra, a marvelous period instrument ensemble with Avi Avital, the mandolinist.
He's terrific. He's, I mean, fantastic. Well, the orchestra is too. I shouldn't say that, you know, shouldn't imply any way, but Avi is just, he's so much fun.
And then the Youth Orchestra of the United States of America that appeared about three summers ago. This year, they'll be conducted by Antonio Papano and with the great mezzo-soprano Joyce DiDonato. And then at the end of the summer, I think an absolutely phenomenal event and something, again, singular, which will be the Hong Kong Chinese Orchestra, which is really a cultural phenomenon. It's an orchestra comprised of traditional Chinese instruments, but arranged more or less in the configuration of a symphony orchestra. So we're looking at an ensemble of 80, 85 players.
Wow.
And their repertoire consists of both traditional Chinese music and works written especially for them by some of the leading contemporary composers of our time. So they're part of a world tour. There are two concerts in the United States, and we're happy that one of those is at Tanglewood. And it will be a chance for us to experience music from a completely different tradition. And I think the sound world will be one that will be new, fresh to us. It'll bring with it a great story about the culture and the background of this ensemble. So we're delighted that in the course of the summer, we have these three completely different orchestras, Venice Baroque, the Youth Orchestra of the USA, and the Hong Kong Chinese Orchestra. So they're more or less the anchors of the Ozawa Hall series, as well as these other great recitalists. And in addition to those that we've already mentioned, Hilary Hahn is giving her first solo recital at Tanglewood, an all-Bach evening.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hampson is doing a program
with Laura Downs.
Yes, indeed, and an ensemble called Songs of America, Beyond Liberty, which is part of many years of research and delving into the American repertory that has occupied Tom. And the great Greek guitarist Milos will be making his Tanglewood debut. We'll see Paul Lewis returning for the second of his three-year cycle of music by Brahms, Beethoven, and Haydn. Stefan Jakiev and Jeremy Denker doing a fascinating program with the four violin sonatas of Charles Ives. They did this program at Jordan Hall last season, and I knew it was something we just had to have in Ozawa Hall. So that'll be a great evening.
And that's the one that where they even have some singers come in for the sort of the chorale parts of one of those sonatas.
They have a vocal group called Hudson Chad, who sings a lot of the hymns and traditional songs on which the Ives violin sonatas are based. So I don't want to give the impression that this is a lecture with music or a didactic evening. It's absolutely fascinating to hear the original source material and then how the great creator and modernist Charles Ives took that material and turned it into something completely original,
right,
in the four violin sonatas, which straddle the period of right across the period of Ives's compositional life in a completely different. It's a fascinating journey.
Well, and it's not academic at all. I mean, it illuminates those parts of Ives in a way that almost can't happen, or is just a lot less effective, I think, when you don't hear those hymns that go into those sonatas. Well, as for the BSO during August, the debut of Rafael Payare, and he's leading a program of Carreño and Rachmaninoff and Brahms. Nikolai Lugansky is a soloist in that concert. Where have you seen Rafael Payare before?
Well, here in Symphony Hall, in fact. He conducted the Boston Phil. I was either the Boston Phil or the Phil Youth Orchestra with his wife, Lisa Weilerstein, doing the Elgar Concerto. And then I've seen him elsewhere with other orchestras. And he's certainly one of the most interesting younger conductors. He's come from Venezuela and was part of the El Sistema program there, along with Gustavo Dudamel.
Yeah.
And now is working very high level with all of the great orchestras. He's recently been appointed as the music director of the San Diego Symphony.
Oh, right, yes, that's right.
So we're very pleased to have him for his BSO debut.
Yeah, and Francois Xavier Roth, who leads some of the most interesting concerts here at the Hall over the last few years. I've really enjoyed his work, and now he's coming to Tanglewood.
We've been trying to persuade him to come to Tanglewood for several years, and he's a busy guy, and so the summer months are normally typically reserved for vacation for him, but he's doing a sort of mini Brahms Schumann festival over his two programs, the second concerto with Kirill Gerstein and the second piano concerto of Brahms with Kirill Gerstein, and the second symphony of Schumann on one program, and then on the Sunday afternoon, the concert Stuck with members of the BSO's horn section, the cello concerto of Schumann with Yo-Yo Ma, and the Brahms First Serenade, which is a wonderful Sunday afternoon piece.
Well, he just has some kind of way. He's one of those conductors that gets something different out of the interpretations from what you're kind of expecting. At least that's how I've always found him. What he's conducted here has not been, well, he has brought in some things that are rare, but even the things that he's done that we think we know, they end up sounding. He's one of those guys that can do something that's new with it that we didn't expect.
Absolutely, and he sort of conducts everything, you know, from the earliest early music to the thorniest, toughest, newest contemporary work, and seems to have this sense of adventure and discovery about everything that he does, and it's really they're quite revelatory, the performances, I think.
Yeah, and then you brought in for the final performance for Beethoven's Ninth, along with the Frieda auf Erde by Schoenberg, another one of my favorite conductors, that's Giancarlo Guerrero. Just a huge energy with Giancarlo.
Oh, a wonderful person, and we were thrilled that he's free to be with us. He worked very successfully with the Tanglewood Festival Chorus last March with the performance of Bernstein's Kaddish Symphony. So
that's right.
We're looking forward to having him back to build on that. And the chorus alone, a cappella, will be doing, as you mentioned, Schoenberg's Frieda auf Erde, Peace on Earth, which our marvelous conductor, James Burton, the director of BSO Choral Activities, will be leading. So I think that's a lovely way to finish the festival.
Absolutely. Well, Tony, it's once again a spectacular season. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Thanks for taking some time to look it over with me.
My pleasure, Brian.